All right, recording is on. And just so y'all know, on the line is muted. Let me introduce myself, and then I'll talk about the housekeeping and all that in a second. And then we will get to the real good stuff today, which is Susan herself. And Susan, I didn't mute you, right?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a terror. I've done that before. I've hung up on people. I've muted people. So, you know, I'm still a baby at all of this. Well, greetings, everybody. I'm Lisa Braithwaite. I'm a public speaking coach and trainer, and I am the host of the Audience Avenger Alliance speaker series, which you are on today. The Audience Avenger Alliance is my membership program for both experienced and novice speakers who want to break out of the routine and stand out as someone who serves the audience in a memorable and engaging way. And this will give you a little bit of an idea of who we are. Our motto is, we liberate audiences worldwide from dastardly presentations by rising above the status quo and delivering bold and courageous messages. That's why we're called the Audience Avenger Alliance.
Oh, love it.
Yes, that is it. And there is a link on the left of the screen if you are on Instant Teleseminar and you're on the webcast. You'll see a link on the left side of the screen to the Audience Avenger Alliance, but I will also give the link at the end for those of you who are on the call or on the recording and are not on your computer right now. Well, let's get a little housekeeping out of the way. The line is muted because I like to try to keep a clean recording if possible, but I will open it up at the end for questions. And if you are at your computer and you have comments or questions, go ahead and use the Q&A box or the chat feature. And sometimes those things don't work because we're talking about technology here and you never know what you're going to get on a day. So I also have my Facebook page open, which is facebook.com/CoachLisaB. And if anybody wants to leave a comment or a question there because you can't get onto the Instant Teleseminar link for some reason, feel free to do that. Okay, and one last thing. If I get booted off because I'm calling in from Skype and every now and then I get booted off the line, if that happens, I will be back ASAP. And if I get booted off, somebody tell me, somebody write in the Q&A or the chat or something and say, you're not here anymore, because sometimes I talk on and on and don't realize it.
That happened to me too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was on a call recently where the person doing the call started telling this really emotional story and kind of got a little teary, and it was this really like intense thing. She was silent the whole entire time. Her whole story was gone.
Oh no.
But it did show up on the recording. So we
were able
to go back and hear it. But, can you imagine? I mean, you're like all emotional and, you know, yeah, and then nobody hears it. So, and you're not going to tell that story again, right? It's like it came out right the first time and you're not
right.
Even lost.
Yes.
Okay, y'all. So I'm doing y'all in honor of Susan today because she's a Southern girl, but I also just like saying y'all. Let me tell you a bit about her, and I will also let her tell you a few things about herself. She is a master certified life coach, so not just your run-of-the-mill everyday life coach. She's like the top shelf life coach, okay? So first of all, you need to know that. Master certified life coach. She's the real deal. And she is an author. She is an audience shifter, which I totally love. She is a luck accelerator and a multi-passionate mentor for your body, your business, and your life. Also, Susan was one of my very first clients way back in the day when she was preparing her very first workshop. And that was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. I don't even
that
remember
was
how long ago.
2007, yes.
Yep, 7 years ago. So she was still fairly new. I was still fairly new. And look where she is now. So she is way beyond that first workshop. First of all, having become a master certified life coach. And then she's just exploded onto the national scene with her work with some Oprah projects. She's been featured in magazines, on TV and radio interviews. She has her own TV show called Life is Delicious. And she's written an excellent, excellent book called Create Your Own Luck, which is actually what inspired me to ask her to be a guest for you today, because the stuff in her book is just so rad. And it's exactly what you need to hear if you have any resistance or fear about speaking. And then she has just a variety of other really awesome programs to help you create your best life. She does work with weight loss and not in the typical way that you have ever experienced. And one of my favorite offerings of Susan's is her Girlfriends Gone Wild dinner and coaching parties, because I finally got to go to one. I guess it was back in May here on the Central Coast. And it was really, really awesome. And I met a ton of great women. And you're definitely going to want to get on her list and find out when the next Girlfriends Gone Wild is coming to a town near you, because she travels. This is a road show. She takes this thing on the road. So she will come to you eventually, and if not, she'll be close by. And then when it comes to you, you definitely have to go and get coached and meet a whole bunch of super amazing women. Sorry if there are any guys on the call. This is called Girlfriends Gone Wild for a reason. It's for the ladies. So really briefly, here's why we're here today, because so many people are reluctant to get in front of an audience and speak. And the way Susan's take on that is that we tell ourselves crazy, scary things that can affect our ability to get speaking gigs in the first place, to take risks as speakers, and to deliver our content in a memorable way. So she's going to talk today about how to identify the thoughts that are holding us back and actually use those to reduce your speaking anxiety and to create memorable presentations. So I'm super, super excited to have Susan with us. You're going to get so much out of this, I guarantee it, and I hope you will. At the end, I'll give you some more links to find Susan, and I hope you will join up with her community, because she's got great things to say that will apply to all aspects of your life, but public speaking as well. So, Susan, would you like to add anything onto my introduction that I left?
No, I think I need to have you just travel around with me and do my intros. So that was awesome.
No problem. No problem. Let me know when.
I guess the only thing I'd like to add, sorry, my beagle is adding his opinion in here, is that the next Girlfriends Gone Wild is actually in Atlanta in January.
Oh, cool.
So if anybody's interested, that is a little plug for that. But I'm super thrilled to be here with you because, yes, you were one of my very first coaches and helped me prepare for my very first public speaking gig, which was an event in my local community called Today's Woman. And it was put on by the local newspaper. And Cheryl Richardson, who is a famous life coach, was the keynote speaker. And so as luck would have it, they were like, wait, what? We have a local life coach? Back in 2007, I was it. I was the only life coach in town. And so that's kind of how I lucked into a pretty high profile for this community speaking opportunity. I put on a workshop. I did a breakout workshop after Cheryl Richardson's keynote talk. And
first opportunity, I just have to say.
Yes. And it scared the bejesus out of me. And so I quickly hired you, who I found online when I Googled public speaking coach. And
I
knew when I saw your headshot that you were my jam, because I love me some adorkableness. And I love that you're like, public speaking for dorks. I'm in. So anyway, I'm happy to give back and to help your audience with some of the things that I learned along the way, combining what you taught me with the life coaching tools that I learned, because so much of my hesitation in public speaking or fear that I had about stepping up for speaking gigs or being able to deliver in a way that was good, all of that kind of boils down to what's going on between our ears. Mm-hmm. And so for me, figuring out how to take what I call mind crack, which is the scary stories that we tell ourselves, notice them, not just let them ruminate and wallow in them, but figure out how to change that into what I call mind fuel so that you can develop a mindset that serves you as a speaker for this particular topic as a speaker. So once I was able to change the way that I approached speaking between my ears, in my mind, things really changed for me. And there's some other things coupled along with that that we'll discuss today too.
Yeah. And I'm very happy that you jumped right into the mind crack piece, because of course that's where I was going to start, because I'm sure everybody who saw these promos were like, mind crack, what's that? I'm sure people have been dying to know what mind crack is. But when you see that, whatever it is, it doesn't sound great really, but whatever it is,
right.
When we learn that we can turn that into mind fuel, I think we probably, you know, sucked a few people in with that. So go ahead and share with us what exactly this means, and, you know, what's mind crack, what's mind fuel, how do we make that transformation?
Sure. So for you guys who are listening, you may notice that when you either pitch yourself to get a speaking gig or are approached by a company or an organization to come in and speak, whether it's just at your staff meeting or at your local YMCA or on state, you know, something that's a big conference, you may not realize that preparation for that talk begins then. Because what happens is that our minds, our brains are very busy all the time, thinking thoughts. And and we're not, you know, it's not always wise to believe what you think. Most of what we're thinking is not even true. Most of it is not. Our brains are just very busy. This is how our minds are designed to work. Negative impulses happen as a result of evolution and trying to keep us safe, but we're not really running from tigers and bears and foraging for food. Well, some people are hunting mushrooms, but I digress. we're not, those fears aren't happening anymore, but our brains still issue these impulses. Everyone's brain does it. There's nothing wrong with you if you find yourself, if you notice you're thinking negative thoughts. But now we're driving around in our hybrid vehicles and going to Whole Foods and, you know, preparing speeches, and our brains are still trying to protect us from danger that doesn't really exist. It's all an illusion. So the first step with this is to notice what your mind is doing about the speaking opportunity, your material, your ability as a speaker. And if you're somebody who has notebooks or journals, write that stuff down, because it's going to be really important to track what happens, the repeat offenders. So, for example, when I was a new speaker, and even now, I'll catch myself, I'll eavesdrop on myself and catch myself thinking things like, how are you going to pull this off? Oh, my God, this audience is so sophisticated. Or whatever it is that you have going on. Like, oh, I hate PowerPoint, and they want a PowerPoint. Or I want to use a PowerPoint, and they want me to not use one. Or, oh, my God, I suck at technology. How am I gonna do a PowerPoint? You know, whatever is coming up in your mind that does not serve you, does not feel good, scares you, that's mind crack. So the first step is paying attention and eavesdropping on your mind to see what's up, because we create this anxiety and this, oh, my God. I mean, Lisa, I know you as a public speaking coach have probably heard it all. What are some of the, what you would consider the top three fears that your clients have in their heads about speaking?
The probably like the top mind crack. the top mind crack that I hear would be, I'm going to bore the audience. That's a huge one.
Okay.
I'm going to bore the audience, or I'm too boring. One that I hear a lot is, I'm not good at this.
Okay.
I'm too inexperienced, that kind of thing. That's another really big one. And then I would think, I think probably the third one is about being judged, and people are going to judge me and critique me and criticize me and see all my flaws. And maybe that's more than one mind crack, but I think it has to do with having your flaws being revealed in front of people who you're trying to impress.
Ah, and you know, I think that really as human beings, that is probably the number one thing. Learning how, in any setting, is learning how to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and learning how to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you, Brené Brown, for her amazing work on shame and vulnerability, because vulnerability is now the new black. And I can tell you that as someone who, I'm an entrepreneur, and this is my second business. I'm a coach and a speaker now, but I was back in the day a residential real estate agent. And what I notice, and not just for entrepreneurs, but for really anybody, success, and I'm using air quotes around that because everyone defines their own version of success, but I find that one of the number one indicators of success is the ability to risk the ego and be vulnerable. And so as speakers, this is really part of that. That's what I would call my secret sauce, is learning how to build up that vulnerability muscle and allowing yourself to let people in and see your flaws, out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Jake the Beagle concurs. So once we sort of eavesdrop on ourselves, identify what our top fears are as a speaker. What's the mind crack happening? Now, let me just put a little side note in here that many of you listening may say, well, but it's true. I'm totally boring, or I'm totally inexperienced, or, you know, whatever mind crack you've got going, we typically believe that that is true. Okay? So recognizing the mind crack is one thing. Then the next step is coming up with a better feeling story, flipping it to mind fuel, not tricking yourself and not lying to yourself, because that kind of stuff doesn't stick, but coming up with replacement thoughts that can help you as a speaker instead of water you down or cause you to shrink from how you could be on the stage. And so that process, it's actually another book I would love to recommend called Self-Coaching 101. It's written by another coach named Brooke Castillo, C-A-S-T-I-L-L-O. And there are many, 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 many thought techniques that I use with my clients. But I find that Self-Coaching 101 is the most practical and efficient and easy to use approach. And so basically what you do is you take a thought and you identify, okay, if I think I'm going to bore the audience, what feeling state does that create in you when you think that? So if I were to sit here and think, oh my gosh, I'm going to totally bore this audience, the feeling state that comes up for me is deflated. What about you, Lisa? If you were to entertain that thought, how does that feel?
Let's see. I'm going to bore the audience. I think for me, the feeling state would probably be anxious.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you and anxiety is like the suppression of fear or anger, so it probably makes you really scared.
Yeah.
So realize that when you think a thought, it creates a feeling state in you. And then based on how it makes you feel, that colors how you act or don't act, what kind of action you take. So if I'm feeling deflated, if I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to completely bore this audience, and I'm feeling deflated, some things that may happen is I may continue to obsess about this speaking gig. I may make myself sick so that I can't even show up. I might just kind of get this hopeless attitude and just be like, let's just get this over with and just go through the motions. Or I may cancel it if I'm thinking something like that. I may have this, like, what's the use attitude. And then the end result, so you think something, you feel a certain way, you act a certain way or don't act, and then that gives you your result as a speaker. So whatever that result is, it typically has proven that thought true. So then you bomb, or you don't show up, or you just don't have the experience you could have had, and then you're like, see, I was right. I totally bored that audience to death. Never mind. And this is when coaches, you hear coaches or experts say things like your thoughts become things. It's not some airy-fairy thing. This is how it works. You think a thought, it creates a feeling state. When you feel a certain way, you act a certain way. Then based on that action, you get your result. The thing that we can control in the cycle here is what we're thinking. So I like to, when generating mind fuel, ask myself, okay, what kind of result would I love to have come from this speaking opportunity? And for everybody, it might be different. It might be, you know, you may have a goal to put on your very first hour-long presentation and make it through. Your result that you crave might be that you touch some people in the audience and change some lives. Your goal might be to get a job promotion. I mean, you could have all kinds of different results that you would love to have as a speaker. And then based on that result that you've identified, the next question is, okay, what do I need to think to have that result? So if the mind fuel result I want is that I want to be invited to do more speaking gigs with this company, then I need to think about, well, how would I need to feel? Well, I would need to feel excited or motivated or inspired. Okay, well, if I want to feel that way, what can I think that drums up that feeling in me right now? And if you're thinking, I'm going to bore this audience to tears, you may not yet be able to get to a thought like, I'm going to be the most entertaining speaker they've ever had, you know, because that's where I think people get frustrated with these techniques, because they don't believe that. It's very difficult to go from I'm going to bore them to tears to I'm going to be the most dynamic speaker they've ever encountered. So you have to find a replacement thought that you believe that also creates a shift in how you feel. And so it might be something like, I'm going to get some help, like from someone like you. That was mine. Like, I'm going to get some help to do the best to my ability. That's all I can do, right? It wasn't an earth-shattering replacement thought, but it was something that led me to be proactive and hire you to help me.
That's
kind of how the process works. It's thought creates feeling. And then the feeling creates your action or your inaction. And then based on how you act, you get the result you want. So if you want to change that result, you need to come up with a better feeling thought. And that's how mind fuel is generated.
That is brilliant. I love that. And
you know, and there's another word for this. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? That's
yes.
another thing that we've, you know, we've heard forever. And I don't know how many people actually realize that that is absolutely true. It's sort of like a joke. You think, you know,
yeah.
uh-oh, if I say this, it's going to happen. But you just laid out the kind of blueprint for how that actually works
mm-hmm.
in your, I mean, it absolutely makes sense. Like you say, it's not some woo-woo thing. When you think something, you feel something, and when you feel a certain way, you do a certain action, and that action reinforces what you were thinking in the first place, right? I mean, it just makes
yeah.
perfect sense. And it's funny because I have a 5-part video series coming out next week, my Public Speaking for Awkward Dorks
Yay!
Video series. And by the way, I love that word. What did you say? Adorkableness. I love that. I'm going to
yes.
appropriate that. I'm going to start calling myself adorkable.
You are.
In one of the videos, I'm actually talking about. Well, I don't talk about it in the video so much as I give it as a handout. But the handout is exactly this. Take a thought, you know, there's a list of things that people think before they speak, and things like I'm going to bore the audience or I'm inexperienced or all of these things. And then there's a way to reframe that into something positive. And so that's what I, you know, I also tell people to, when you say the replacement thought, it's a great way to describe it. I will tell somebody, for example, so the thing that you're thinking, this negative thought, why could that actually be something positive? Why could that very thing that you believe actually be positive? So the example of an inexperienced speaker, well, I'm inexperienced. Everyone's going to know I'm inexperienced. They're not going to listen to what I have to say, right? Well,
right.
To my mind, being an inexperienced speaker can be a good thing, can be a benefit. Because sometimes speakers who've been around the block a few times can come in and be really canned and really robotic and make you feel like they're not even paying attention to you because they don't even, you know who's in the audience and they don't really care and they just kind of come and do the same speech they've given 100 times. Whereas an inexperienced speaker can come in and be a little bit more real and a little bit more raw and can maybe bring some freshness that old veteran boring speakers can't bring.
Right.
You know? So I'm always trying to think about how we can turn the negative thing and not just even replace it, I mean, which is also one tactic, but to actually find the way that that negative thought that you're thinking in itself is a good thing.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that I think that a lot of what I talk about when I speak is how everything that you think is wrong with you is what's right with you.
Yes.
And
exactly.
It's the same thing. It's like you tell me what you think is wrong or what people have shamed you for, or what people have tried to tell you you're too much of, and I'll show you how those are your superpowers.
Yep. Which is exactly why I started the Public Speaking for Awkward Dorks thing. Because
yes.
I'm a dork, and I own it, and I'm proud of it. And I've known I was a dork for many, many, many years. And you know what? There are a lot of us out there. There are a lot of us dorky, nerdy, geeky, goofy, kooky, you know, wacko people out there who don't embrace it, right? We think that this is what's wrong with us instead of what's right with us. And so that's exactly why I'm doing this too, because it's like, hey, you know, you can either feel sorry for yourself that you don't fit in or that you somehow are different from everybody else or you're not as cool and smooth and sophisticated or whatever, or you can say, I rock. I am a weirdo and it's awesome. And when I get on stage, I'm not going to be like any other speaker they've ever seen, and that's going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that.
Absolutely. And I think that once you guys identify what your top public speaking mind crack thoughts are, it may be very well worth your time to also maybe identify what you think is wrong or what people have tried to shut you down for. You know, one of the biggest things that that I thought was wrong with me was that I talked too much.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Hello. I'm now paid to do that. But as a kid in Catholic school, oh, my gosh, the content section or the conduct section of my report cards were, you know, Susan talks too much, Susan lacks self-discipline.
Oh, my God.
You know, Susan doesn't respect authority. And those are all the superpowers that I use in my business, the positive side of that. And I think for all of you listening as speakers, think a little bit about what are the things that people try to shut you down about, either as a kid, a teenager, even now, and how is that the very thing that you want to unleash as a speaker?
I love that. I'm writing it down. What do people try to shut you down about? Okay, good. So, and it's interesting to me, and I think this is something that, you know, people don't realize either, that somebody like you, who doesn't seem like you could ever have a negative thought, mm-hmm. has ever felt, you know, scared or nervous about thinking, and I mean about speaking. And so I think it's really good for people to hear this and realize that they're not alone, that everybody who's ever gotten on a stage has these similar kinds of thoughts. They're all individual to us. You know, we all have our own fears and our own resistance to speaking, whatever it is. But everybody who's ever gotten on a stage for the first time or the fifth time, you know, has these negative thoughts. And the truth is, people who have been speaking for years and decades, like me and like professional speakers, most of those people still get nervous before they get on stage as well.
Wow. Yes.
And so I like to remind people of that. Now, that's not necessarily so much about the negative thinking, because at this point it can just be pure adrenaline, right? Like, oh, my God, I'm getting in front of a whole bunch of people. But even that little adrenaline, even that adrenaline rush, that little bit of stage fright, it's a positive energy that can propel you to really get on stage and do a great job, because that adrenaline is telling you, I want to do a good job. You know, I'm here to really shift and transform this audience. And the mini version of what Susan's talking about is taking even the nervousness and thinking, oh, you know, I have these butterflies in my stomach and my hands are clammy and my mouth is dry and this sucks and I hate it, to even turn that around, even in a little mini way, and remind yourself that adrenaline is what you need to mm-hmm. propel yourself, just like a professional athlete. You will never hear a professional athlete. I'll tell you this. If you talk to somebody who's a sprinter, for example, and is going to run the 100 meters, the fastest race in track and field, if you talk to an Olympic sprinter, they will never tell you that that adrenaline is bad. They will say, if I don't have that adrenaline rush, I don't do very well. They need it.
True.
They embrace it. They appreciate it. They use it as a tool to make themselves run as fast as they can. And so even people who are super experienced as speakers still get the adrenaline rush. And you can take the thoughts about the adrenaline rush and about what you're feeling in your body, and you can manage that. You can manage it. I don't say you'll get rid of it entirely. I never tell people they'll get rid of the nervousness entirely or the stage fright entirely, but you will manage it. You will manage it, and you'll use it as a tool.
Yeah, I mean, I have had the blessing or the pleasure of watching some of the best seasoned speakers when I was doing some things. Oprah's doing her Your Best Life tour this year. I guess it was 2 years ago. I spoke at OU and on one of the smaller stages. So the big stage is like Susie Orman and Dr. Oz and these guys. And I was backstage and I And I really got to witness firsthand that, you know, Dr. Oz pacing back and forth and back and forth with his notes, you know, and I think it was Susie Orman. I said to her, I was joking, and I said, you know, how do you deal with stage fright? And she said, beta blockers, which made me laugh, but she's kidding. She was kidding. But she said, you know, I really feel like the day I stop getting nervous is probably the day I stop caring. And
yes.
I really care.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell. I could not say it better. I'm glad to hear she's not taking beta blockers. I totally
discourage
people.
She's actually super funny.
For speaking engagements.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Exactly. So, you know, it's okay to have this, you know, these kinds of feelings, but it's what you tell yourself about them, which is going to, you know, put you in a good place on stage or a not so good place. Susan, I know that you do certain things before you speak
mm-hmm.
that kind of get you ready to get
yeah.
on stage. Could you share some of your secret tricks with us?
Yeah. So a couple of things that have really, really helped me with what you just described, like basically owning the fact that I'm going to have an adrenaline rush before I take the stage, that there's nothing wrong with that. It's a natural human thing or reaction, and a few things that I do to calm myself before I go on stage. Obviously, working on the mind crack stuff. So in coaching, we talk about the difference between clean pain and dirty pain. And so what you were just describing is clean pain, like recognizing, hey, I'm nervous, I can use this adrenaline, it is what it is kind of thing. That's clean.
Yeah.
Dirty pain would be, oh, my God, I'm the worst speaker ever. This is going to be awful, right? So use the mind fuel techniques to get in as clean pain as possible before you take the stage. And then something that I do, a couple of things that I tell myself that help me. One of them is I know that I'm meant to help at least one person in this audience. So at least one person is supposed to hear what I'm going to say in the way that I deliver it. So I think something that a lot of speakers do is downplay the magic that they bring to the message. So they may, especially those of you listening who think that you're not experienced enough or entertaining enough or whatever it might be, there can be all these speakers that take the stage before you with the same kind of message, but there are people in that audience that are meant to hear how you deliver that and your thoughts on it. And so I may not be able to get to a place when I'm nervous to think like I'm going to rock this audience, but I may be able to get to a place usually where I think there's at least one person that is supposed to hear this the way that I say it, and I'm going to show up for them. I'm going to get over myself and show up for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first part of it. And then the second part, which is kind of my pre-speaking prayer, is I know that plenty of you listening and who are taking this course with Lisa are probably doing a great job of preparing your content and practicing your content and obsessing over your content. And then when you get to that stage and you're getting ready to go on, it's important that you're able, this is what I say to myself, that I have prepared as well as I can prepare now. And whatever truth needs to come out on the stage, let me facilitate that, even if it means losing some of my content.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can become like hyper freaky about covering absolutely everything we had planned. And honestly, the audience needs to hear what they need to hear. And sometimes that may not be what you planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It's, you know, and then another thing I remind people of is that if you have to let some of your content go for whatever reason. Either you flat out forget, or the audience has a lot of questions and they want to go in different directions. Nobody knows what you had planned to cover anyway.
Right.
So if you don't cover everything, and yeah, we you know, a lot of speakers have this really, really big problem with trying to cram everything in, and then if they forget something, they're devastated. But the audience has no idea what you had planned to cover.
Right.
So
right.
I love this, that the audience will hear what they need to hear. And another point about this is most people will only take one thing away.
Yes. Yes.
You know? Like you said, Susan, about serving that one person, as a speaker, you do not have to change every single person's life in the room. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
No.
If you help one person make a transformation or make a decision that's going to move them forward in some way that's going to be amazing for them, you've done your job. So not only do you not have to change every single person's life in the room, but every person in the room is going to take away something different. And most people will get one great thing, one nugget from your talk. They will not get all of your 10 points. You know, they're not going to do all the things, all of your calls to action. It's just not how we are built. And we have such high expectations, and we feel so let down when we think that we haven't, you know, changed everybody's life, and you're just not going to.
I know, and you know, the thing about it is, something else that can be really helpful is to think about, you know, if I were in this audience, what would my, you know, what would I be hoping to walk away with,
mm-hmm.
and have that be your intention? So I also always set what's my highest intention for this opportunity, for this telecourse, for this book? You know, what do I hope after people experience me for whatever it is, 20 minutes, an hour, a day-long seminar, what would I love for them to call their mama or their best friend or post on Facebook or Twitter about the experience?
Right.
And go
right.
from that place of serving instead
yes.
of worrying about how your dress looks on stage or whatever other crazy thing your mind is cooking up.
Absolutely. And again, coming back to that concept of service, that's what it's all about. When you get on stage, it's not about you. It's about serving the audience. How can you give them the best experience? How can you give them the most value? And the more you think about that, also the less you think about yourself. The less you worry about yourself and how you look and how you sound and if you're funny and if you're smart and if you're impressing people, you think about that less and less, the more you focus on providing the best experience to the audience. So I love that, your highest intention for them, your biggest hope for them. And this is a part of preparation. Again, you know, what we're talking about here today is mental preparation, and most people don't prepare enough before they speak, both in terms of their content and in terms of their mental preparation. So what Susan is sharing with you all today, this is going to it's going to help you make huge strides the next time you speak if you put it into practice. I mean, bottom line is you have to implement. You have to do this. And it's work, just like anything. It's work.
Mm-hmm.
It's journaling. It's writing writing down your mind crack. It's, you know, preparing the best you can mentally. And also, and setting this your highest intention and being okay with letting things go. There's a lot you have to do to mentally prepare. But if you commit to it, you're going to rock the stage. Absolutely.
Totally. You know, this kind of work will transform even your content. So when your mind is clear and your intention is solid, and in service, that changes everything. It changes how you show up. It changes how you deliver. It changes what kind of content you even want to deliver. And I would say probably the biggest thing that I've learned in terms of shifting an audience is to, instead of trying to win them over with what you know, try to share with them a story that lets them in, that allows you to be vulnerable, that perhaps touches them and how they feel. It's a really different, you know, I used to worry a lot about, okay, which coaching tool and which this and which that, which is always very important, but the better I became at telling a personal story, the more audience seemed to be open to what I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of speakers can be polished, they can be, in terms of technique, flawless, but still lacking something, and it's usually that connection with the audience that comes from letting the audience in and being vulnerable.
Yeah. And that's huge. And as you say, it is kind of a, I don't know, a trendy thing right now. But it's really for people who are effective and successful speakers, it's always been a relevant tool. I think audiences crave it more and more. Audiences are looking to connect with a speaker as a real person. We don't want to go sit in the audience and listen to some speaker talk about all the things they've accomplished and you know, give you all these, you know, these ideas and these tools and make you feel like you could never achieve it. You don't want to sit in an audience and look at this person on stage and say, well, that's easy for her to say. She's always had money. Or, you know, that's easy for her to say. She's, look how beautiful she is. I mean, okay, I will be honest. I have caught myself doing this. Well, look how gorgeous she is. Look how beautiful she is. Of course everybody listens to her. I am not kidding you. I have thought that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, right? I think our minds just do crazy stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, but well, and granted, okay, that maybe isn't a good example because I'm talking about people who are not approachable, and I'm sorry, beautiful people, they can't help being beautiful. So that's not their fault. That's not their fault if I find them unapproachable. But ultimately what we want is we want to know that that person on stage has either been through what they're going through or at least can empathize and understand and tell stories and be real and connect with them in a way that they feel like you're collaborating. I mean, I look at presentations as a collaboration with my audience, that they've given up time to be there. I expect them to raise their hands and participate and answer questions and do activities. And when they do that, they co-create the presentation with me. And we do this together as a team, you know, and I don't want to be the one standing up there lecturing, you know, for an hour and telling everybody how, well, you need to do all these things in order to have this kind of a life or this kind of a business, but never have had those experiences myself or don't have any, you know, am afraid to show my flaws and my own problems and my own difficulties in getting where I'm going.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that I do think that you're right. I mean, audiences are showing up because they want to learn something, they want to be entertained, they want to feel like you get them. And the quicker, the faster that you can open up with something about you that lets them understand that, the better off you're going to be. And something that you taught me, Lisa, was, you know, never open your talk going on a stage with reading them your bio. Like, that needs to be the announcers. Like, that was your job today. To be, like, in their program. Like, you know, you lose the audience very quickly if that's what you're spending your time on. You wanna open with something that grabs them. And it's...
Yeah.
And a personal story is typically the way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. People love stories. And that's the best way to connect with people. Unless you're telling the starfish story. I mean, you know, don't tell a story that like thousands of people have already told and that has no relevance to you or the audience. I mean, gosh, I still hear people tell that stupid rocks in a jar story, and the rocks and the pebbles and the sand and the water.
God.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Get
the,
a new
the 80s
story.
Called and they want their pebbles back.
So yes, stories are great as long as they're real and relevant and make that connection with your concepts and your topic. So we have about 10 minutes. I want to make sure there's time for questions.
Sure.
And I also, if we have time, I want to hear you share a little bit about your texts from God, because I love that concept.
Sure.
I'm going to keep this in the back of my mind for a minute, but first I want to make sure that our listeners know about the free gift that you have brought today, because this is like super, super duper fantastic free gift. So tell a little bit about the link that that we're giving everybody.
Yeah, so basically you're all getting a digital copy of my book that Lisa loves so much. It's called Create Your Own Luck. 7 Steps to Get Your Lucky On. And basically when you click on the link, you'll be able to download a color copy of my book, and it has everything that I talked about today about Mind Crack and Mind Fuel, and each chapter. I wrote this book, it was published about 3 years ago, and so I really wrote it like 5 years ago, I think. But each chapter there are 7 chapters, and each chapter has worksheets and fun things that you can do for creating your own life that you crave. And I'm proud of it because it's an interactive book. It's a book to get messy and write in and tear things out and stick things in. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm writing another book, but this was my first baby, so I'm proud of it. I hope you like it.
When Susan sent me the link and said, here's the free gift, I did not expect her to be giving you her book. And when I saw that, I already have it. So I was like, oh, dang, I already have the book. It's not like I can have it again. I mean, I can have it again. But I was so excited for you all, because it's a really, really great book. It's full of stories. It's full of activities and exercises. And as I was just talking about, you know, it's stuff for you to do to actually make these forward movements and these baby steps towards changing the way you think about your life and about your speaking. So I'm really, really thrilled about it. So for those of you who are on the computer, you'll see the link on the left-hand side of the screen. And it says, I believe it says, download Susan's book. And then you'll also see there's another link there to Susan's website as well. So you can, and for those of you who are just listening and who can't see the website, don't worry. I will send the link to you by email. So you'll get the link for Susan's book and you'll get the link to her website. And I do highly encourage you to join her community, to go to her website, which is shyatt.com, shyatt.com. Because if you get on her mailing list, you'll get amazing writings from her, amazing newsletter articles from her that will blow your mind. And Susan is constantly making me think about my life in new and different ways. So I do encourage you to check out her website and definitely download this book. You're just not going to get this book for free anywhere.
Yay!
So
that's
go
right.
Get it. Go get it. Susan, will you tell us just briefly about your texts from God? It's kind of a takeoff. It's kind of like an extra step in the Mind Crack to Mind Fuel kind of process. And for those of you who are not religious, it's not necessarily God. It can be your higher self. It can be texts from your inner soul. But tell us a little bit about it, Susan, how you've worked with it.
So basically, it's a shortcut tool. Let's say you're driving in your car and you're obsessing about your upcoming speaking gig. Let's pretend you're driving to it. and you're like, oh my God, like, where are my index cards? And I hope the PowerPoint works, and I hope my kids don't burn the house down while I'm away, and whatever is coming up. This is a tool that you can use very quickly, and it developed in my work with a client who was super text obsessed. So this was a client who, you'll read about it in the book. I won't spoil the story, but I asked him one time when he was obsessing about his situation, if God were to send you a text message right now about this, what do you think it would say? And it completely changed. It was a game changer for this client. And so usually when I speak from the stage, I use this tool at the end. I challenge the audience when they're leaving the speaking place where we were to think about whatever thing they identified that they wanted to change or where they needed guidance. And again, this isn't a religion thing. It could be God, universe, higher self, future self, soul, whatever. But asking the question, okay, I really want to write my second book or whatever your goal is, or maybe it's a fear, I'm really scared I'm going to bomb, then ask yourself, if God were to send me a text message with an answer or guidance, what would it say? And typically, the first thoughts that come into your mind before you've had a chance to filter are it. That's the guidance. If you start crafting something and you're thinking in paragraphs, you've lost it. That's not the text. It's usually very simple, very straightforward, very calming, expanding kind of guidance. And so I use it all the time when I find myself wallowing in my mind crack. I'll be like, okay, what's my text from God? And honest to goodness, I joke all the time, but sometimes it's something like, go take a nap, Susan Hyatt. Like, stop it. But you guys could ask yourselves, you know, what is it that I'm grappling with right now? And if I were to get guidance from a higher power via a text message, what might it say?
That's great. I love that.
People tend to eat that one up because, it, you know, whether you're religious or spiritual, most people are hungry for higher guidance than what their mere mortal selves are experiencing. And for me, it cuts through a lot when I just ask that question.
Yeah. I really love that. So you'll all see that in the book when you download your copy. But I wanted to make sure that Susan shared that today because I felt that it went really well with what we were talking about. I want to take questions, and let me first find out, Susan, will you be able to stick around a little bit after the top of the hour?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. Just in case we need to go over a little bit, I know some people will need to leave. And let me just run through a couple things before the top of the hour for those people who have to leave. Obviously, thank you for coming. And I hope you really got inspired by what Susan has to say. She's just got some really great tools for you. This recording is going to be available until Monday the 17th. Just so you know, I will be sending out the link. But it's only available until the 17th because this is property of the Audience Avenger Alliance. And after the 17th, it goes into the Audience Avenger Alliance library and goes in there with all the other resources that are part of that. So the link to the Audience Avenger Alliance, just if you're curious and you want to know more about it and see what we're doing over there, it's coachlisab.com/audienceavengeralliance.html. And you'll get that in your links as well, and it's also on the side of the screen right now if you're on Instant Teleseminar. But this will be available until Monday, so you have some time to re-listen to it if you need to, take notes and so forth. And I also will send out links in the follow-up email to this recording and also to Susan's free gift and to her website. So if anybody has questions, I would love for you to pop your question into the chat or into the Q&A box. And if you have a question on the phone, if you hit *7 on your phone, that should unmute you. And just briefly, I'm going to pop into Q&A because I see Jim Sims was in here. Thanks for coming, Jim. Jim is a fellow speaker out of Florida, and he's commenting on the starfish story as well, that it's overused. And he says that if a speaker wants to use a story about a starfish, take a new angle. What if you were that starfish? Or make a modern reference. He says, for example, when a dozen tourists in Rio de Janeiro saved 20 beach dolphins last year, he's saying they must have taken to heart when their teacher read to them about the starfish. So I like Jim's idea about this. You know, hey, it actually could be really funny if you took that rock story or the starfish story and started to tell it and then totally flipped it on its head. I would love to hear about somebody doing that and just flipping it around and making it into something different. That would be hilarious. And then Jim also mentioned getting our butterflies to fly in formation, which I'll tell you, I never say that because I feel like that's another one of those things like everybody says a million times. But maybe we can think of a new way to talk about the butterflies. Instead of getting the butterflies to fly in formation, what if we got all of the butterflies to to lay eggs on the same milkweed plant in my backyard so I could have more butterflies next year. I don't know. I'm just like, you know, trying to get out of these, you know, these same cliched kind of things that these stories that people tell, right? So, okay, put your questions in the Q&A box or in the chat box if you're on your computer. And if you're on the phone, hit *7 to unmute yourself. And just jump in, really. If you have a question for Susan, just go ahead and jump in. If you're having trouble, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to unmute everybody. How about that? I'm going to unmute everybody. So if you have something you want to say, just jump in. Feel free. And I'm going to take a sip of water.
Yay.
Susan, I hope you stayed hydrated during this interview.
I have stayed completely hydrated. And... it is now snowing outside my window. I cannot even believe it.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you don't have to go anywhere.
I have to take my daughter to her. You know, Emily, who is 14, is in an all-girl band.
Yes. She's a punker.
She's a punk rock girl, and she has practice at 5 my time, which is in a little less than an hour, but it's less than a mile away, so that's not that big of a deal.
Oh, nice. Okay, good, good. I think I heard somebody, did somebody want to pop in with a question or comment for Susan? Anybody have like an aha or something that you learned from Susan today that you're going to apply to your next presentation? I would love to hear that.
Hi there, Lisa and Susan. It's Lori Kinkosis from California.
Lori. Hey, Lori.
And it is sunny, and I'm heading to San Francisco right now.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, so I listened, and Susan, you know, we have a beagle, and his name is Benny, and I also have a daughter whose name is Emily, so I know you and I are going to meet one of these days.
Yay, we have a lot in common.
Yeah. Hey, great call, both of you. A lot of really good information, new, fresh information. I know Lisa's the best, and Susan, I think that's pretty awesome that you reached out to her in your early years. One of the things I want to say is that I've done a lot of different speaking in my past, and I haven't done any recently. But one thing I have been doing, it was this dream that I gave up of, that I thought I gave up. But as soon as I asked the question, are you going to give this up, which was to acting, to get into, you know, go back into movies, go back into the kind of stuff that I really enjoy. I said, yeah, I'm giving it up. I'm done with that. And then as soon as I said it, I'm like, you are not. So one of the things that I got out of what today was to actually use that mind crack and the mind fuel when I go into an audition. Because mine gets filled with stuff. And I know, you know, I used to do a trick where I thought of the color pink when I entered a room. I understand that it's actually quite helpful to do that. But I love this because flipping those fears that I have going in there and using it to my advantage in a way. So I like how this has been, I've been able to cross-reference the information that I got from today's call.
That's cool.
Oh, that's so
great. And it's great to think about, like you did, how am I already doing this somehow in some instances to give yourself evidence that you're totally already probably doing it sometimes, but now you can make it a practice of eavesdropping on yourself and then intentionally doing it. So that's why sometimes we tend to have wishy-washy results, because some of the time we're naturally doing these things and other times we're not. And I love that you were thinking of the color pink, because you were probably exuding that, what that color means to you when you go into these auditions. So that's cool.
Yeah, and then the other thing that you brought up was the adrenal rush. And for me, whether it's when I always had this when I would go to talk in front of a group, but I definitely have it when I go into an audition or when I'm out there. It's mine comes out in shakes in my hand, and it makes me crazy because I don't want to seem like I'm, a nervous Nelly. Uh-huh. I want to seem like
right.
I'm a professional. So that is something I need to
work.
Channel that.
Work on the thought that professionals' hands don't shake.
Oh.
Right?
I like that.
I used to have the thought that professional speakers shouldn't really show deep emotion on stage. Like if I were a professional, I would have it all together. I wouldn't tear up when I told some of the personal stories that I share. And that's bullshit. I mean, professionals care and feel deeply. So I would work on the thought that I need to get my hands to stop shaking, and I bet they stop shaking.
All right. I like it.
I love that. And, Lori, probably nobody even notices. It's probably something that you sense, but that other people don't notice either.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of, too, what happens is we start thinking, oh, my voice is shaking, my hands are shaking, and everyone can see. And when you think everyone can see, it makes it worse, right?
Right. Right.
But I love Susan's approach, and
yes.
Actually I have to tell you, one of the 3 days of the video series that I'm doing for Public Speaking for Awkward Dorks is about professionalism, is about how people are afraid of being who they really are on stage because they think it's unprofessional. So again, everything we're talking about today is so intertwined, and we have so much mind crack around not about people thinking we're not professional. And it's my biggest pet peeve, and I hate it, and I'm going to make it stop.
Avenge. Thanks,
yes.
Guys. I appreciate
Lori,
it.
Lori, I'm so glad you're on the call today. I miss you, and I'm waiting for you to come visit me down in Santa Barbara.
We got to make it happen.
Yes.
I got to, or have you come out to the winery and do
or
some
that
professional gigs.
That is not a bad idea. Well, thanks
right.
for sharing. I appreciate
yep.
it.
Thanks for
Does
having
anybody
me.
Else anybody else have a question or an aha or something that you got today from Susan that you're going to apply to your next speaking gig? I'm checking the chat, checking the Q&A box. Jump in if you have something to say or something to ask. Excuse me while my water slurps. I thought it was a good idea to get a glass straw because they're not disposable. You know, so they're glass and they're reusable, but they make so much noise. So I drink through a straw when I'm speaking so that I don't hit the microphone with my cup. But this glass straw makes so much noise in every cup I put it in. It's like they're, you know, it totally ruins the whole point of having a straw while I'm speaking.
You're so funny. You deserve some water after facilitating for an hour.
Well, okay, last chance. Anybody pop in with your question, your comment, your aha for Susan. And if I don't get another comment, we will go ahead and close up shop. I will be quiet for you, though, so you can say something if you want to. I'm also checking my website to make sure, or my Facebook page to make sure there wasn't anybody who got lost. Good. Nobody got lost. All right. Well, oh my gosh. Susan, thank you so much for coming today and for sharing all your great tools and tricks and techniques. And I got a lot out of this. I love the one about, I know that I'm meant to help at least one person in the audience. I think that's so huge. And I think it's not, what you said also is, it's not always wise to believe what you think. And I love that line. It's not always wise to believe what you think. And I'm going to remember that one. That one is going to stick with me.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
So, yeah. So stick around on the line. Do you hear that beeping? I do not know.
I hear that beeping. I'm not sure what it is.
I don't know if it's on your side or on my side. But anyway, we're going to get off the line now anyway. But thank you all for coming. Susan, I'm going to try not to disconnect you, and I'm going to say goodbye to everybody else. And
right.
Beep, beep, beep. Talk to you all soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you.